We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Every once in a while, we have to bring out the big dog.
Yeah.
Oh, God help us. It's time for Danny Unleashed. Sponsored by Easton Roofing, where integrity matters. Go to EastonRoofing.com for more.
Welcome back, Danny Klinkscale, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing, Joe Spiker and his great team. They got you covered. I'm going to tell you, it is a very important time to make sure that roof is good to go. We're not that far away where the water, the rain might start freezing, and if you've got some problems, boom, that wedges it out, opens that hole up even more. Now it's just a little damage, becomes a full-on leak. Find out right now if your roof's taking a beating with all the storms this season. Get a free inspection, free estimate from Easton Roofing, the entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. They serve commercial and residential. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Easton Roofing at 913-257-5426. Online, EastonRoofing.com. There's Danny.
How you doing? Here I am.
We're
back.
Doing well. How are you? How was your trip?
It was astounding.
Really?
It was everything we could have wanted and more. 3,000 miles of delights and peaks and river valleys and little towns and diners, and it was fantastic. Fantastic.
You're the only guy that I've ever heard come back with just a 100% thumbs up on the vacation.
Well, except for a couple of calamities.
There we go.
We got a flat tire coming out of a little town, and that didn't go well, but it could have been worse. It really good Samaritans all over the place. Two young bucks who came and rescued me from putting the freaking donut on, I'll say that.
Nice.
They drove up in their truck, and the people at the Walmart we went to put the real tire on got us in and out of there like NASCAR. We barely had time to eat lunch. And then
always great fare there at the Walmart.
Well, there was a Subway
in some hellhole in Wyoming or something. You know,
it was actually Riverton, Wyoming.
Yeah, there. Okay.
Good call. But the other thing that was an absolute
pork rinds and
no, I actually
stale
had a,
beer.
Actually had a pretzel. It was taking so long that I just said, "Get me a pretzel and I'll eat it on the road." So that's what we did.
There
and then the absolute miracle.
That's what real
miracle.
Men do.
You each give me the odds of this happening.
Okay, lay it on me, Danny.
We're driving through one of the most beautiful places in the world, Bighorn National Forest.
Danny Unleashed on Bighorn.
We had been before, and so we stopped to take a photo with this amazing mountain backdrop there. And so my wife is taking a picture of me, and she sets her phone down on the
hood. Were you clothed? First of all, fill us in on that. Yeah, okay.
I
just want to make sure.
For this
and
one, at least.
So she
didn't know how this works.
She used my phone, sets her phone down on the hood of the car. Her phone's black. Our hood of our car is black. She forgets. We drive off about, I don't know, half a mile down the road. I noticed a piece of paper fly off the hood to the left. And then we stop at another really scenic venue about 2 miles down the road because we wanted to take another picture. And she digs around in her purse and realizes that she doesn't have no phone. And I'm like, that phone is dead. I mean, there is no way. We're not even going back. And then she goes, no, no, and she's almost in tears, realized eventually that she could have got another phone and rescued all her information. But it would have been a pain in the ass, and it was early Sunday, and we had about a
Yeah, because driving back 2 miles and aimlessly looking at the side of the road is no pain in the ass at all.
That's easy.
So I said to myself, okay, it was on the right. I saw it fly off to the left.
There was a tumbleweed.
Maybe there is a chance that it didn't tumble down the 2,000-foot crevasse on the left. So we drive back, and, you know, I'm totally dubious. So we get...
Dubious? You've lost your mind.
The car
would not be able to turn left if I was...
So
I bet there's less than a 50-50 chance it's there.
We're pressing on, honey. That thing's gone.
That was literally my thought. So I drive back a little bit, and I notice two pieces of debris are lying in the road. And I'm like, zootalores. I mean, it's possible, I guess, But we had to keep driving on because there was no shoulder on the road, and it's a fairly busy road. Because
so you decided you're going to burn a U and drive with the door open and your arm hanging out the side, and you're just going to snatch it as you come by?
No.
Just pick it right up?
We drove up to the
Knievel
next
style?
Little you know, they have all these little turnouts so you can take pictures, basically, because it's so beautiful there. And I had to run about a quarter of a mile back down the road. And as I'm approaching, I'm getting a little optimistic here. I'm like, this kind of looks like a phone in a case here a little bit. And then this big truck
runs right over it.
Comes right around the corner, a pickup truck, and I'm just double wheels, the whole thing, you know, the kind of truck that a guy...
What you'd expect in Hellhole, Wyoming.
Guy with a small penis drives. But anyway,
Wow.
So anyway...
That happened.
I'm looking and I'm just begging that this... Because there's probably already been 100 or so cars that have driven at this point, because it's 10 minutes later at least. And here comes the truck, and it hits one of the two pieces of debris. I'm like, oh, good Lord. So then it passes, and I run out into the road. He hit the case. The phone is there. And
oh, wow.
It is intact. A slight crack on the screen. Phone rescued. What are the odds?
Oh, my God.
What are the odds?
I'm going to say impossible, and you're lying. That this is you're working on the follow up to your last book, and this is the half baked BS you're going to try to peddle in book number two.
Absolute, every detail is absolutely unembellished. I mean, I tell you, I didn't want to go back. I thought this was a fool's errand, and it happened, and it was an absolute miracle, and it made the rest of the day, which was going to be a very long and beautiful drive to the Grand Tetons, a hell of a lot better because we had it. It was amazing. So what do you think?
You can't put a number on. No. 200,000. I don't know. It's there's nothing to base it around.
Yeah, I suppose probably not as long as we'd think because it blows straight up in the air and how far can it tumble, you know? Right. I don't know. I mean, probably not quite as long of odds as we think.
Yeah.
But, you know,
pretty amazing.
You called it a miracle.
And then having the truck hit the case instead of the phone was nice, right in front of my eyes. That was good. So that was amazing. So those are the only two, you know, sort of calamities that went on, and the rest of the time was just
bliss. Every second better than the last.
We drove like 3,000 miles, and
always a good idea.
Spent probably half of our waking hours driving, but
sure,
most of it was
quite
so
a trip.
Entertaining to see these. You know, just one. You could have taken a picture like every 10 minutes.
So right, and I'm sure you did.
No, you don't stop when you're driving. When you're driving 6 hours that day, you don't stop every 10 minutes to take a picture. Believe me, you don't. So, anyways, it was a fabulous trip. I can highly recommend it to anyone. Now, a lot of people are doing this now. We stayed two nights at this place called Custer State Park, and there's buffalo there, and you can go see the animals and everything. And they usually have 2.5 million visitors per a year.
Right.
This year, they're going to have 5.5 million.
Did you feed the goats?
So was it just
my wife?
Did the goat start chewing on your shorts? Did you have to do that leg block because the goat was coming for you the wrong spot?
They actually drive you in a Jeep into the buffalo herd. That's pretty cool.
And how many do they kill each time they do that?
None. The buffalo just sort of amble around. They're used to it.
So was it just you, Jane, and the animals?
It was just me, Jane, and the animals. Yeah, absolutely. Prairie dogs and... We didn't see any elk. They kept saying elk crossing the road, you know, all the time. We never saw it. Never saw it. What's the singular of elk? One elk, I guess. I guess it is.
An elk.
Yeah. So, and I guess it's one of those things that's singular and plural. So,
one of the treats we got, you know, I hadn't been to Colorado since I was a kid. I've been to Denver and done stuff, but I mean up in the mountains, kind of.
Right.
So we did 4 or 5 days up in Colorado at the beginning of the summer and took the kids up there. And as we're leaving the little lodge where we were staying, there's a moose down in like one of the little drainage ditches, basically there. And so we decided to videotape the moose and got a great video of the moose taking a leak right there. I mean, just timing.
Moose,
yeah, that's the Petro family wilderness tour. When we happen to get out the camera, the moose is going to take a leak. I was like, we got to go. This thing's going to be taking a dump in like 30 seconds, and we're going to be catching that.
You haven't seen a prodigious dump until you've seen a bison dump. boy, oh boy. You know, I ride my bike around. I mean, it is huge. You're just like, wow.
Stop a small car.
Like is there a T-Rex somewhere around
like
here?
Like two bowling balls that melted. Kind of.
That's graphic.
That's kind of what it is. So,
look for it in Danny's new book.
Here's the funny part.
The biggest dump I ever saw.
There they want you to call the, you know, like South, I mean North Dakota State is the bison, or they pronounce it bison. And there they want to call you to, everybody to be sure to say that these are bison, they're not buffalo, okay? But then we go to the visitor center at Custer State Park where all these bison slash buffalo are. And they show a film, and the official film, which is narrated by Kevin Costner, calls them buffalo. So for the rest of the world, they're buffalo, but somehow there they want you to call them bison, so we do. But anyway.
Elitists.
And my
bison elitists.
You've never seen a happier human being than when my wife sees buffalo. I mean, she's just ecstatic. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the trip was really dedicated for her because she just has been through a tough battle of her own, so it was fantastic. We can talk about sports now, but I can't even tell you how great it was.
Just that's great. I'm happy for you, Dean.
You've
that's
never awesome. Seen anyone happier than when my wife sees buffalo.
I mean, it's just like
that's the first time.
I mean, she'll knock you down to get a better view.
I'm 55. Yes. I've never heard that sentence before.
Prairie dogs, buffalo. What else did we see? Bighorn sheep.
Did you see the world's third largest ball of twine?
Did not.
Okay.
But you know, we went through a lot of little towns, and we ate lunch one time in a town that actually has a population of 378. That was.
I'm sure that lunch was.
It was actually good.
I'm sure that kitchen passes every cleaning standard.
Nice older lady. I'm sure it doesn't.
Cats
That was the only bad part, however, is that this area of the country, there hadn't been much COVID problems until the new variant came, and now it's one of the biggest hot spots in the country. Not a mask to be seen anywhere. I mean, like Jackson Hole.
Glad I'm in this room.
Jackson Hole we went through.
You ain't got to drive very far west to experience that. I can tell you that.
And this place is, like, it's not even, what is it, red? Supposed to be the worst. I mean, this thing
is purple.
Red with, like, flames coming out of it. It's Jackson Hole. And it's crowd, and we just drove through it. We didn't stop at Jackson Hole. But
COVID has literally grown legs and is running around on the ground.
And it's a tourist town, and it's crawling with people. We're driving down the main street. You know, it took us 20 minutes to get 500 yards. And people hanging out of the bars and everything else. None. Zero. I mean, maybe Billy the Kid rode by and he had a mask on. I don't know. But that was the only one. So,
all right.
Strong.
I can't turn the wheel on this, so we're just going to take a break.
Yeah, let's do that.
And we come back. Well, I'm glad the vacation went well. Jane had a
fabulous
good time, I take it.
Absolutely.
Other than you being with her, but yeah. She had a good time?
Yeah, she had a wonderful time. She doesn't like my driving much, and since I did all the driving, that was probably the only precaution.
Did you stop, get out of the car, and walk around to the passenger seat this time?
No, we were having such a wonderful time that her Calamity Jane antics in the passenger seat did not bother me that much.
At a moment like that today.
She just thinks that there is disaster around every turn. That's the thing.
Right.
And you know, so if any, you know, the prairie dog, you know, a antelope 20 yards off to the side, watch out! That type of stuff. But I didn't care. It was great.
We'll take a break. We'll come back more with Danny Unleashed, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing, Joe Spiker. I'm sure Joe's probably heard a lot of these stories as well. No payment collected until you're 100% satisfied. Financing, they got many options available. Check it out right now. Call Easton Roofing at 913-257-5426. See them online at eastonroofing.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
Yeah, you don't like getting licked. You like licking other guys in the... Came out weird.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer.
Why don't you lay it on us, Curtis?
Lay this right here. He was the first player, 40 or older, to have a 100 RBI season. Who was he? And I was surprised.
Hank Aaron?
Three. Nope.
Winfield?
Dave Winfield. Wow. 1992. He got number 100 on this date. Only two players have done it since. I'm kind of a little surprised that there's...
That 40 years old and 100 ribbies? David Ortiz?
David Ortiz in 2016.
Paul Molitor?
Nope.
Nelson Cruz?
Nope.
Oh, that's a good 1999. 40 years old. Give me a squad.
God, who did he play for then? He moved around a lot. In fact, he played for two teams that year, so I have to go back and find out exactly which
Give me the
it was.
Two teams.
Let's see.
I don't think you know. Here. I think you're just talking out your rear end here.
I got to find him again.
Those are really good.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
I'm a little surprised at Nelson Cruz, I'll say that. He played for the
Orioles and the Cleveland, soon-to-be Cleveland Guardians.
Don Baylor?
Eddie Murray?
Nope.
Orioles, Jim Tomei?
Nope.
I like a 99, Danny. Don Baylor?
Which one first?
Yeah, good point.
He played first for Baltimore.
Baltimore and then over to the Indians. 40 years old, and drove then, in 100.
And then back to Baltimore. God, he
wasn't Ripken.
It's funny, he played for Baltimore in 98, played for Baltimore in 2000, and briefly played for Cleveland in 99, which means he was obviously a deadline deal.
99? An O that came over.
Played for the White Sox, Orioles, A's, Rangers.
Harold Baines?
Harold Baines.
Ooh. Crap. Should have got that a long time ago. Yeah. That sucks.
Yep. I don't remember him that much as an Oriole, I'll say that.
I don't either, but I do now that you mention it, but in my head I wasn't.
No, if you said list the teams that Harold Baines played for, I don't think I would have.
He's one of a few guys, or maybe I don't think he's the only one, but that has number retired from multiple teams, and it's the Rangers and White Sox, right?
Believe so.
Yeah.
He has the record for the most major league seasons wearing the same uniform number, 3. No other player in history of baseball has worn the same number more seasons than Harold Baines wore the number 3. 23 years.
I'll buy that.
And had one of the great beards of all time, too.
Good Sense we were playing for. GoodSenseSubs.com. Order it on your way home. Get 10% back if you're part of that loyalty club. They slice the meats, the cheeses right in front of you, the bread. They bake that fresh twice each day. It's the best sandwich you're going to find anywhere. Good Sense. Go to GoodSenseSubs.com or order on the app. Make sure you're part of that loyalty club. You get 10% back. I absolutely scratch my head every time somebody checks out in front of me and is not part of that loyalty club. I'm telling you, if you buy like $20 worth of sandwiches, next time you got $2 off. You can't beat the deal. GoodSenseSubs.com. Danny's with us, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Danny, Frank Clark, they said today, aggravated, I think they used the term aggravated, his hamstring, to which everybody said, okay, so how do you get that hand? He said, no, it's the other one. If you have a hamstring injury and then you aggravate a hamstring and it's the other one, that's not an aggravation. You injured
no.
it.
I mean, it's aggravating, but it's not an aggravation.
Particularly
of the same
when
you've
got $25 million in cap room tied up in a guy.
You know, we talked about this just before we started the segment, started the hour. And, you know, Frank Clark is one or two plays in the Super Bowl and the Chiefs winning, of course, away from just probably being reviled in this town, really. Although I don't know if anybody on the Chiefs, you know, well, if they hadn't won, maybe. But, I mean, the feelings are so good about the Chiefs right now. But that deal would just be looked at as an absolute calamity if not for he made some real nice plays in that game. They likely wouldn't have won the game without him.
Although Eric Eager is adamant that they would have.
Really?
Adamant. He's like, the sack that he got at the end, he said it took like 6 seconds for him to get there. And he's like, there was nobody open. He said he'll go on and on about how Kyle Shanahan's a great play caller, but that was brain dead.
But that pass knockdown, that was going to be a first down.
That was Chris Jones.
Was it Chris Jones?
Chris Jones had the batted passes.
Okay, well, if it was just that then. But I didn't he make another play or two that were very significant?
I think he had two sacks maybe in the I don't necessarily agree with what Eric Eager said.
Right.
I But I'm when Eric Eager says it, I listen.
Right.
And I'm now open to the idea that they would have.
Anyway, that being said, and that certainly is a point of good
discussion. He did play very well down the stretch and in the playoffs, right. The whole stretch of 19.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. But if the Chiefs hadn't won the Super Bowl, wow. And it's still not been a good deal, but the caveat of the Super Bowl is so remarkably large that it almost makes up for the fact that now this narrative rolls on and now he's hurt.
Well, it's become an albatross. There's no way around it. And I think we'll always, you know, we get 20 years down the road, we'll be like, you know, that contract is worth it. It got us our first championship in 50 years for the Chiefs. But I think as you look at it right now, I mean, was it a good deal? No. Just the deal in and of itself, no, it sucks. It's horrible. It's a terrible deal. A first and a second round pick, all that money for what he's given the team overall. It is not a successful deal in and of itself if we were to just evaluate the deal. And I do think it's an important thing for Brett Veach and the front office.
And also, they gave up the number one draft pick.
That's what I said, a first and second round pick and first and second.
Right.
Right. They got
the money.
They got the extra second for D Ford when they traded D Ford to the Niners for a second. And D Ford has done nothing to warrant that second round pick. That was a good deal. To me, the frustration is, you know, I've heard people say, well, there wasn't anybody they could have gotten. Actually, Montez Sweat went a couple of picks in front of their pick. You're like, well, so they could. And I'm big on saying, well, just because you wanted to trade up doesn't mean there's somebody there. Well, I think if you said, okay, we got to get 3 to 10 picks up to get this guy, somebody in there would have made a deal, right? And Za'Darius Smith was available, who's been pretty damn good for the Green Bay Packers. I think he's hurt right now, but for the last few years, he's been pretty good for the Packers. And he was available for like $65 million. And no, he was just a free agent. Came over from the Ravens, signed with the Packers. That was the guy I'm like, grab this guy. And so I think there were other options. And I think that's the thing. They fell in love with Frank Clark for some reason. The other thing, you know, yeah, I respect Eager a lot, so I know I quote him a lot, but he's really good. He said Frank Clark had, I think he had 9.5 sacks the year before they got him. He goes, yeah, 8.5 of them were against Colton Miller in one game on the Raiders.
And 9.5 is not exactly electrifying.
It's not okay. Just in Houston coming off 20.
Right. It's okay. So,
and he's gotten progressively worse.
Yes.
Right, whatever he was, every year has been worse than the one before. It seems like he got paid and stopped caring.
Yes, and
there's been incredible bad luck. I'm open to either, but
you get paid and then you win the championship. Where's the motivation then? You got your money, you got your ring, and I mean, for some guys, they're just self motivated. They want to be great. Other people are willing to be satisfied.
Is that the problem with the Chiefs right here? Like. Okay, year one, it's win a championship. Year two, we're going to run it back. That seemed to inspire them all the way to the Super Bowl. If they have a 10-7 year or 11-6 year, are we looking at, okay, everybody who's a principal on this team has won a championship and gotten paid. So who's hungry?
You know, this team is still driven by its offense, and it strikes me that the offensive stars do seem to be still hungry.
Okay.
So I don't necessarily believe. I just think the construct of the defense, or the fact that because you've got the unicorn quarterback and this unbelievable offense that really at times, I tweeted this during the Chiefs game, you know, that they lost, but sometimes it just looks like the only way to slow the Chiefs down is to impose Canadian Football League rules on them, you know, where you only get three downs. And I don't even know if that would do it much because they just adjust. And now the teams really want to take away Tyreek Hill. They do seem comfortable with just matriculating the ball down the field. And first down seem to be just easy peasy. But then when you're playing with fire like they do, occasionally you're just going to – they play too many close games. For as good as they are, they play too many close
games. Jeff Chedid said it on the Border Patrol yesterday morning. You know, it's like, do you see a blowout against the Chargers? He goes, I don't see a blowout with this team at all, ever, because he said blowouts mean you have to stop somebody.
Right.
He goes, I don't see why anyone would think they're going to stop anyone. And I think that's real, and I think that's honest. I've liked what I've heard out of the defensive guys this week. I think they're at least saying the right things. They got to bring it and put it on the field and make it happen. Chris Jones, questionable. Charvarius Ward, questionable. And D Ford, doubtful. Means they're going to be down some manpower.
You mean Frank Clark.
What did I say?
D Ford.
Yeah, Frank Clark.
He's real doubtful for the Chiefs.
Wearing the same number.
I'm doubting he's going to play for the Chiefs this weekend.
But, you know, so that's a little bit disturbing. The thing for me is, if the defense doesn't turn around, what are you going to do differently? And I think what they have to do differently is go arena football. And I think it's pedal to the metal and stop leaning for the tape and thinking you're ever going to get a stop. Assume that the other team is going to get seven every time they have the ball.
Well, and I think that, unfortunately, is part of the narrative at the end of the game, too. Clearly, Andy Reid felt, we're not going to go down and score a touchdown here, and you know, which they could have done, probably, the way they were moving the ball. We can't leave any time left on the clock. And in this modern NFL, that means not even 25 seconds or 28 seconds. And it's such revisionist history for people to be talking about, you know, you can't hand the ball off there. I mean, come on. You got a guy.
That's ridiculous.
He never fumbled in college. He literally, figuratively never fumbled in college and literally had never fumbled in professional football. Yes, you can hand the ball off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because he fumbled, okay, it's a disaster. We lost. They should have kept throwing it. Put it in the hands of your top playmaker. You know, that's what Baltimore did. Well, Baltimore's got a guy who's a running back playing quarterback. Mm-hmm. That's why the ball's in his hands. You want Patrick Mahomes running around? No.
Oh, no, I took those calls on Monday. You got to run Mahomes off the edge. I'm like, what?
No.
You've lost your mind. The people who don't want him running a quarterback sneak, I mean, he's run a quarterback sneak and dislocated his kneecap and option football and been concussed and knocked out of a playoff game. And your plan is, well, nobody else can touch the ball but this guy. Stop.
For God's sake. I'll listen to the fact that he is generally good with the ball and can make nice short throws, and they could have thrown the ball, and they probably could. But the point was that if they did that, they likely would have scored with 45 seconds to go or something like that. And who's going to trust that they're going to stop anybody?
Well, they may have scored with a minute 10 to go.
Right. Exactly.
And do you think, you know, you're going to keep Baltimore off the scoreboard?
No.
I don't. You know? And now Baltimore's down to one timeout. And I think that's what Andy Reid saw, was like, listen, I can run it once, burn this down under a minute, and then I maybe run it again or probably come with some safe pass that's going to be completed to keep the clock going. And then we'll go for the gusto on third down. And if not, then we kick the field goal. That's the right move.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, anyone who's ever called, you know, any show and been like, you got to kneel down, right? The whole kneel down instead of scoring the touchdown, kneel down and take the field goal so you take all the time off the clock. Which to me, I'm not a proponent of that, because I'm like, the snap, the hold, and how many freaking Harrison Butker missed extra points do we have to watch? Which I think is Tommy Townsend. I've spoken with some people within this organization that that are of the same opinion.
I mean, the Vikings lost the game last week because the guy missed a 37-yarder.
Yeah, so I mean, to me, punch it in if you can get seven, punch it in, and then you know. Particularly if it's, you know, if you're scoring a touchdown, if a field goal will do it for you, then a touchdown's better, and it makes the other team go get a touchdown.
If you want to bleed it all the way down, take two knees and then try and score a touchdown.
Yeah,
with 14 seconds to go.
I just, you know, to me, the whole idea that like we're going to now assume a fumble's coming every time we hand off. Why would you leave it? Why isn't a fumble coming when Mahomes has it? Why isn't a fumble coming when you throw it to Tyreek Hill? We know DeMarcus Robinson's going to hold it out there like a loaf of bread, so you're sure as hell not going to throw him the ball. So,
right, and we also are in a play. It matters when certain things occur. Obviously, that's right at the end. But Mahomes, that was a, you know, he's so great, and he hardly ever does anything wrong. But they almost assuredly win the game if he doesn't throw that brain dead interception. I mean, they punted away. They're already ahead 2 scores. I mean, the game was over in my mind. But I guess with the defense, the game's never over.
But 5 of the last 6 possessions, the Ravens scored, and 4 of them were touchdowns.
Right. Well, they haven't stopped anybody in the red zone this year.
8 for 8, and that was
being
the talk.
Being worst in the league last year.
And that was all the talk in training camp, and they come out, and they have spit it up 8 for 8.
I mean, they're going to have to do some fancy stepping to get out of last, starting out 8-for-8.
Well, I'm a Steve Spagnuolo fan, and I don't think Andy Reid will fire him. And I think, listen, there are other things. You know, you pick up little things that Spagnuolo's talked about. Well, remember, we work against our offense and blah. I'm like, well, I wonder how many looks they actually give to the defense on what it is. You know, how much scout team does the defense really see? As opposed to Andy's like, we need to run this again. I got to get this in. We got to work on this play. And all of a sudden you get down, there's 5 minutes left for the defense to work on this, work against the scout team on what the Chargers or that week's opponent's going to throw. I don't know. That happens a lot. I can tell you from talking to coaches, you know, the head coach's side of the ball generally gets preferential treatment. And, you know, so I don't know if that's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what, the other thing that bothers me, and you talked about this yesterday, I believe, with not Eric Eager, who's the man from the north.
Seth Kizer.
Seth Kizer. And whose idea really was it to move Chris Jones outside? In my mind, it's Chris Jones,
yeah.
Now, you know what I would say to Chris Jones? We just paid you. You go play where we want. And I think it's his idea. You already got paid, okay? You don't have to move outside. Yes, you would get paid better if you had played rush end.
Right.
But you got paid, okay? And he's a way better player inside than he's ever going to be outside. I'll say that right now, okay? He is. And in the modern NFL, the best way to screw up the pass game is interior pressure. Not edge pressure. I mean, yeah, that's fine. But interior pressure right up the gut and the guy's chest is better, even, if you can do it. And he can. So that to me is, I don't get it.
I don't either. I'm looking up here real quick. Give me a second.
But don't you think that was driven by Chris Jones? And I think a big part, like we talked about with the Royals, part of the, you know, their championship pedigree was loving up their players, loving them. And I think part of the Chiefs' whole thing is that they're coaching. Andy Reid's a player's coach, and they do some things that allow the players to have fun. He talks about that a lot. Run gadget plays. They probably really have no business running because they don't have to, just for fun. And I think this is part of that whole deal that Chris Jones would like to play the outside, so they're putting him out there. When they first trotted this out at camp, wasn't the whole story being that this was going to be kind of a mix, that he'd play some on the inside, some? Well, in the first two games, he's just been a defensive end.
Every time it came up, they talked about how Jaron Reed was a critical sign, and that's the part that I would throw into this equation. Do I think Chris Jones wanted it? Yes. Chris Jones has also lobbied a lot to play offense, and we haven't seen that yet. So they don't just cave to everything the guy wants. But let me point this out. Like, so if you wanted to go, I think part of the reason that he's here, tell me which one of these names excites you as on the edge, okay? Danico Autry, Carlos Dunlap, and I don't think you could have gotten Carlos Dunlap, Samson Ekubon, Morgan Fox, Benson Mayoa, Kevin Pierre-Lewis, Henry Anderson, Kerry Hyder, Jordan Jenkins, Jeremiah Atachu, Tyson Alula, Terrell Basham, Angelo Blackson. My point here is these are the guys on the edge that made less money than Jaron Reed signed for. At the $7 million, I gave you some guys up at the top that were multiple years, but the average contract was less than $7 million. So theoretically, you could have fit him into the one-year $7 million slot where Jaron Reed fit into. I think they were like, there isn't another edge guy out there. So if Reed can be 90 or 80% of Chris Jones and Chris Jones can come out and be an above average defensive end, are we better as a collective? And they decided yes. And I think the answer, because Jaron Reed has sucked, the answer is no, they're not better. Well, and if you had managed your cap better, or if you'd said no to somebody along the way, somewhere, Bud Dupree was available. Trey Hendrickson is the guy that I really liked. He signed 4 years, $60 million with the Bengals.
Right.
And you needed, you know, an average of 15 per. I'll bring up how they structured it, what it ended up being. His cap hit this year is $12 million. But they didn't have $12 million.
But Unless they don't sign Joe Tooney, you don't take a game-wrecking player who's probably one of the top three players at his position.
I'm with you.
Now, he's probably not going to be this, but what did you say the other day? He's ranked 33rd. Now, I think he's better than that and would be better than that. But to turn him into an above-average player when you had among the best players in football at that role, that doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, and he was never a great run stuffer in there, but there's a lot of other people clogging things up that help you out. When you're on the edge, you're exposed, and you give up the perimeter. You give up the sideline. You give up 8, 9, 10 yards minimum when you just don't even at least string it out. I mean, he's collapsing in on the dive part of the option, and Lamar Jackson's crossing the line of scrimmage before he even gets to the tackle and then still has the whole sideline to angle towards. I mean, it was just easy on Chris Jones.
Now, they have played the two best rushing teams in the NFL, so this is, you know, a caveat to that. But 4.6 yards per carry before contact against the Chiefs. Just think about that. That's the average.
But at least when they arrive, they bring the hammer.
they bring
4.6 per before contact, and then Dan Sorensen, most missed tackles in the NFL, nine.
I mean, almost 5 yards a carry before contact. I mean, that's embarrassing. That means that if they were playing touch football, they'd be giving up first down.
I think what's embarrassing is the highest percentage of your cap is tied up in the defensive line, and they're getting absolutely worked over. They're not stopping the run, but they're making up for it by not pressuring the quarterback either.
Well, and the thing is, this is a big part of complementary football. You've got the greatest show on earth, offense, and they're getting out on the field for 24 or 25 minutes. I mean, you're costing your team, which is likely to score, including
most
field goals,
plays.
You know, what, 70% of the possessions, maybe? They're probably that good, at least more than half. You take away a couple possessions, and you're taking away at least one score.
Yeah.
I don't get it. And that's going to be the prescription for every team now, is try to run the football at the Chiefs, try to take Tyreek Hill away, try to make the Chiefs at least slowly move down the field, limit them to 7 or 8 possessions. You get one stop, one turnover, and try to hold them to 27, make them kick 2 field goals.
I think the other thing,
beat them that way, and you can.
And Andy Reid really did not do this in 2018. What has to happen is you have to start calling your offense knowing your defense is not going to stop anyone. And that means 4th and 3 at your 38 is not a punt. You're sending that, you know, play in, and we're going for it. You know, it means 4th and 6 at the 50 is not a punt. You're going for it.
You're going to give up 85.
Townsend isn't like Colquitt, where he puts it down inside the 10 every time. He's likely to kick it into the end zone anyway. The 30 yards from the 20 to the 50 is irrelevant with your defense.
Right.
It's a snap away. So you have to go for it, and I don't think Andy Reid's inclined to do that.
If it takes him less time to score, your offense at least plays more.
Yeah.
I mean, if they start from the 18, they're going to run the ball and maybe have a 13-play drive.
Yeah, have
maybe
a chance
they score
to wear
five
out
plays.
Get more than 45 plays like you got against the Ravens, and maybe wear the defense out to a point that you're just 7-7-7-7 in the second half.
And the other point is, all that being said, you don't have to be great. Just don't be terrible on defense. Just don't be terrible. We know the Chiefs' offense is great enough, and Patrick Mahomes is great enough, and Kelsey's great enough, and all the weapons are great enough, and especially if they're going to just completely, you know, spend 3 defensive players of manpower on Tyreek Hill, then it gets even easier for the rest of the crew. Just don't be terrible.
Yeah.
Sounds simplistic and dumb, but just don't be terrible. I mean, I think that there was too much talk in this run-up to the season about how the Chiefs are really going to have a defense now. Well, who cares? I mean, they just don't have to be terrible.
Well, my fear is that, you know, we watched this with Dick Vermeil, and draft pick after draft pick on defense that never hit. And then all of a sudden one day everyone's like, why does the offense suck? Well, because Willie Rofe retired and Will Shields retired and Brian Waters you had to cut for cap reasons and Casey Wiegman retired and Tony Gonzalez wanted out and, you know, Eddie Kennison retired and Trent Green, you know, went past his prime and got knocked around and concussed and Priest Holmes is hurt and Larry Johnson's hurt. Like, you never drafted anybody on that side of the ball. It's why I always like, you know, I listen every year to the draft show. They got to take defense. No, you need to take defense and offense every year. Every year. Because if you're not, all you're doing is setting yourself up to suck on the side of the ball you're not picking. Period.
Right. And their whole, especially now, it's become more and more apparent in that they have to be what they are, which is a great offensive team. Very good, doesn't get it done. Mm. Chiefs were... You know, they had one more turnover than they usually ever do. They almost never get two. They might have one. And they still played a good enough offensive game to win. They just were only very good in that game. Not great.
We'll take a break. Danny Unleashed. He's brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. Joe Spiker and his team, locally owned and operated. Great, great company, Easton Roofing. You can find them online right now at EastonRoofing.com. That's EastonRoofing.com. Or give them a call, 913-257-5426, locally owned and operated. Great family business. Four straight years voted Best of Houses Award winner, handling the entire metro, including Lawrence and Topeka. It's Easton Roofing online at eastonroofing.com.
The program with Soren Petro.
Even in those old-time photos of people gathered around the radio, they're always looking at the radio like, I can't wait till they invent the TV.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping things up with our buddy Danny Klinkscale. Danny Unleashed, brought to you by Easton Roofing. Danny, who do you like, Chiefs or Chargers?
I am of the feeling that the Chiefs are going to let it fly this week. I mean, I'm thinking that they may bounce back with a vengeance. That's my 88% thought. But we'll have something really to talk about if they don't, because it will reveal that there are, you know, you're going to be three games in, and if you go and dump this one, then you'll actually have real concerns.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they might put a, you know, at least a 10 to 14 point win on the Chargers.
Going to lay a beat down on them? Is that what you're saying?
That's my lean. But as Jeff Chedia said, history shows the Chiefs don't do that. So, but this time around, I'm thinking they might.
Yeah, I do too. I think so as well. Two TDs and three INTs for Herbert. I don't think he's locked in yet. I like the Chiefies. I like it by double digits. We'll see if it happens. Danny, do it again next week, buddy. Good to have you back.
Sounds great. Thank you.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, who's the only player to get his 3,000th hit in Canada? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.